Man, beautiful choir, Matt. Walter, here we are, one of the most exciting hours of our week. Would that it were so. It is so, on some levels. I was going to tell Wyatt and Cole, one of the most exciting things is you look out and never know who you may see on a Sunday morning, and then it occurred to me, no, we have a pretty good idea who we'll see. So there's something else that can be exciting about it. Something we take for granted, I think, this community, this gathering. Here I am, here you are. But it was somewhere between the years of 33 CE or AD and 55 CE AD, something fascinating happened. Now, I know those dates aren't absolutely certain. They're best scholarly guesses at events in history, most popularly used dates. But anyone know what happened between 33 and 55 AD, or Common Era CE? Has to do with religion, I'll give you that hint. We can break it down a little bit. What happened in 33 CE, according to tradition? Around the year 33 CE. Yeah, okay, wow. A couple of puzzled looks, you scared me there. And then others like, oh, but yeah, right? The crucifixion of Jesus and then the resurrection experiences that happened around 33 CE. Again, this isn't totally historical or critically accurate, but if year zero was the year Jesus was born and year 33, if he died at 33, then year 33 CE. That age, by the way, is based on Gospels, particularly the Gospel of John, in which there are three Passover cycles. Jesus beginning his public ministry at 30 and three Passovers in John suggest 3 years before he was crucified. Easy enough with 33 CE. What happened in 55? Common Era. Anyone? Give you another hint. You can take a look at the scripture reading listed in your bulletin. That book, 55 CE. Anybody? A couple of nods. The year most commonly used to date the writing of Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. It's not the original text that we have in our scripture, of course. It's a copy of a copy. We have no original scriptural text. Copies of copies, most likely. But the first letter to the Thessalonians is widely thought to be the oldest writing in the New Testament, even older than the Gospels. And it reveals to us and for us the first Christian community of which we have record. Massive scholarly consensus around this. So somewhere between the years 33 CE, when Jesus was crucified, and 55 CE, when 1 Thessalonians was written, something fascinating happened. And that something was a new community gathered together. One that was first called Followers of the Way, later the Ecclesia or the Gathering, and finally, ultimately, the Church, the body of Christ on earth. This new community was a profoundly countercultural one. It was not the first to countercultural, to be sure, but it did it in a new way, a way that hadn't been done for thousands of years, at least since the radically monotheistic faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob wandered into ancient Palestine, out of Mesopotamia and Egypt. This community was first formed by those who watched Jesus die and who then experienced his presence even after that death. This community continued through those with whom that experience was shared, who then had their own resurrection experience, like this group in Thessalonica. The sharing of these experiences have continued for 2,000 years and counting, all the way up to us. We have all experienced the resurrection power of God at one time or another in our lives. Otherwise, we wouldn't have come back to this community, back to this church, back here this morning. This community, our community, has some pretty peculiar characteristics or features and some pretty odd requirements. And some of those characteristics and those requirements were recorded from the outset, including the oldest words of our scripture. Listen for the word of God from the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Beginning with the second part of verse 13, Paul says to us, "Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil." The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, this morning's sermon is a familiar one on some level, certainly. It wasn't too long ago that we shared some similar thoughts on community, different scriptural verses, different circumstances, but I found myself drawn to it again this summer as this summer comes to a close, as this month ends, from Wayne Willis's Holy Gospel, Gossip, through the calm and quiet of our souls and into the breadth and length and height and depth of love. This month we've explored how our faith in this church ought to intersect our lives in the world. We've explored more deeply what we mean when we profess that the kingdom of God is here among us. And dare we believe within us? Now, I don't kid myself into thinking that everyone who's been here on one or all of the Sundays this past month would say, "Yeah, that's what we've been doing." I know full well that many of you here don't remember what Wayne preached on the first Sunday of this month or even what I spoke about last week, but you're back. You've come back. Something has brought you back. You're here again. We are here, gathered again. And if it's not primarily because of the words I or any other preacher speaks, then what is it? Why are we back? You know the answer to that question as well as I. It's because of the community. It's because of one another and others like us doing the same thing that we're doing all around the world, gathering together. Our faith brings us together to be part of a community that is like no other community in the world. I know we dare not romanticize the church too much. It has let us down in the past, but it is different than any other group we gather with. So let's consider that. Let's consider ourselves this morning, the body of Christ, the community we call Pee Wee Valley Presbyterian Church. One of the biggest ways that I always hear us described by many of you, by those who may not be members but who are familiar with us, described by me even, is to note somewhere in the conversation that this is a small church. A small congregation in South Oldham County. That little stone church across from St. Al's parking lot, etc. Now, I know we often say these things to describe the church building that we're in, but we also say these things to compare ourselves, or we're compared by others, to other congregations, mega churches like Southeast Christian, or just bigger ones like St. Al's Church or Christ Church Methodist or Northeast. We're comparing ourselves, and too often, consciously or unconsciously, we find ourselves assigning a kind of secondary status to smaller communities of worship like our own. Somehow we're just not as important, or we aren't doing something as right as other larger congregations. But I suggest to you something we've talked about before, that being a smaller church is a more difficult undertaking
than being a larger one. Trying to maintain a community is a much more demanding enterprise than offering a commodity. You see, at some point, communities of faith, Christian churches, for example, become more concerned with selling a product or providing a service than offering a community. And that service, that commodity, is a very appealing thing in our world. We can feel faithful by going to church on Sunday morning or Saturday evening or other times of the week and giving to the church through a pledge each year, but not really getting much more involved than that. The problem is the society that Jesus calls us into was never intended to be a commodity, something to be consumed once a week and then set aside until the next time it gathers. When Jesus called and calls his disciples into community, that never stops. It's a community that never stops encouraging and admonishing and rejoicing and praying, giving thanks and being patient with one another. And what we offer here at Pee-wee Valley Presbyterian Church, what small churches everywhere offer, is not a product or a service, but a community. You can't leave community behind when you leave on Sunday morning, when you pull out of this parking lot just a little later this morning onto Central Avenue. You can't always pay someone to fix the community when the air conditioner breaks down or our lights burn out or its members experience sorrow and death or expects lemonade after worship or when the parish house needs a deep clean. Because being a part of a community and not just a consumer of a commodity means sticking around, helping each other out whenever needed, whenever we're able. We must never allow our community to get used to our not being around. That's not so with the commodity. Now, I don't mean to disparage mega churches or larger ones with deeper coffers. They are doing wonderful things. I know they are. Literally. There are hundreds of small gatherings or interest groups that are part of larger church experiences. I know that some of you, many of your children, have experienced positive ministry and outreach from large communities. But those communities' identity, their way of being, the group itself, does not rely on your presence or the presence of individuals in the way that the community we offer here does. Or the community offered in smaller congregations around the world. Now I know that's scary for many men and women, young and old, to some of you perhaps. I think that's a big reason why mega churches are getting more mega and smaller churches are dying off. There's a lot of comfort and relief in not being relied upon, in not being counted on to show up, in not being missed when you're not involved. We lead incredibly busy lives, and to not be missed so much on any given Sunday, when Saturday night went a bit long, or when Sunday soccer or other events come calling, relieves some sense of guilt that we feel. There's relief in anonymity. That's why many are willing to pay for that privilege, that service, the ability to be in church without being the church. But that's not who we are. And I hope and pray it's never who we become, because it's not what Jesus, through the Gospels or through Paul's letters, calls the church to be. We are called to be a community for each other and for the world. If we grow numerically, when we grow, we may need to change new worship spaces, increase staff, more elders, deeper ministries, wider outreaches. We will change, but the church must always be a community that needs not only for each and every one of you to be in church, but for each and every one of us to be church. For the future of this congregation and the body of Christ around the world. I hear this all the time in our annual elder retreats, the ongoing conversations that are a part of our team ministries, or just people I'm talking with on Sunday or throughout the week. The most common and most positive characteristic of this church lifted up is that community aspect of Piwee Valley Presbyterian Church. Our strongest feature. It's also our biggest challenge. One of the greatest costs of our discipleship, for it requires us, all of us, those present this morning and those not able to be here this morning, every single person to show up. To, in the words of Paul's letter, to be at peace with one another, no small task. To admonish idlers and encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak and be patient with all, to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, to hold fast to what is good, and to abstain from every form of evil. And so as the summer closes, we endeavor to do just that. In a few weeks, we are going to begin another ministry year. Discern for yourself in this time how you will be a deeper, richer part of the community here in Piwee Valley. And may God, the God of peace, sanctify us entirely. May our spirits and souls and bodies be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls this community into being. Amen.